Use your key. Use your key. Every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Come on, Timmy, say, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name. Break every chain, break every chain. Oh, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain.
That's it, there is power.
There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power in.
There is power,
there is power
in the name,
in the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break,
break
every chain,
break every chain.
Come on, say to
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There's an arm.
There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we say good morning to you this morning. We thank you for making God your number one priority by joining us at our executive meeting where we receive the daily bread of manna and we no longer thirst anymore because God is providing us with his living water. We say good morning to each and every last one of you all over the land. We have a new, we say good morning to you, Nigeria, as you now reach out to us. We thank you for coming, becoming a part of us as we all are one in one place, and that in the presence of the Lord. Good morning, South Africa. Good morning, Fiji. Good morning, Canada. Good morning, United Kingdom, Asia, Egypt, wherever you are in the United States of America. We say good morning to you, and we just thank you for being obedient and seeking ye first the kingdom of God. What a way to start your day. What a way to show God, we thank you for your new mercies. We thank you for your new beginnings. We just thank you for being who you are and accepting us for who we are right now at this very present moment. And we cannot let the day go by without saying happy birthday to our very own Mother Helen Walker, a.k.a. known as Mother OG. We send you much love. We send you blessings. And to God be the glory. So as we sit down today, we want you to relax. Put your seatbelts on. Let everything that may be a hindrance to you right now in the name of Jesus, we're commanding it to be removed. We're releasing any diabolical forces that may hold you back for what God has for you today. I'm going to say that again. God has something special for you today. Why? Because this is the day that he has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We know the word of God says that he gives us new mercies. New mercies bring on new beginnings. God is in a place right now where he is blessing you with his true unadulterated word. So you stand fast, be immovable, and be in a place to receive. Good morning, Minister Chiquita. Bring us in prayer. Minister Chiquita, bring us in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we just say thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for waking us up, Father. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us a chance, Father God, for new mercy, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for just being who you are, Father God, the lifter of our heads, Father God, our protector, Father God, our healer, Father God, our deliverer, Father God. You are our everything, Father God. And we know, Lord Jesus, without you, Father God, we are nothing, Lord Jesus. So we lift you up with praise this morning. We lift you up with honor, Father God. We lift you up with every fiber, every being, everything that's in our body, Father God. Because some of us were not as fortunate, Lord Jesus. But we just thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being just our, just giving us a fresh anointing, a fresh wind, Father God. We just thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for your miraculous healing, Father God, for your miraculous teachings, Lord. Yes, I say miraculous, Father, because some, Father God, does not have the courage, Father God. Some does not have the obedience, Father God. Some do not even have the unction, Lord Jesus, to speak what you would give them, Lord Jesus. But we just thank you, Father God. We thank you for the words that are coming forth today, Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, that they penetrate hearts, Father God. They penetrate minds, Father God. They make a difference, Father God. that people that's on the line will not leave the same way that they came on this morning, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that we are able, Lord Jesus, to decree things, Lord, and they will be established, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the teachings that you are imparting in us, Father God. The impartation, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father God. So as we go on our today's journey, Father God, knowing, Lord Jesus, that we've already positioned you, Father God, knowing, Lord Jesus, that you're already in our presence, Father God, we go on, Father God, with a joyful heart, Father God. We go on, Father, with an expectation of greatness, Father God. We go on today, Father God, with an attitude of gratitude, Lord Jesus, knowing, Father, that you're right by our side. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, we thank you, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty holy name, we say amen, amen, amen. And we say that amen without any apologies, because when we going into and we're petitioning the Lord, we know that God has just, we know that he will come out of, he is the light in the darkness. And this is where we are right now. God is taking it. The word says that a lot of us do not know things. I'm paraphrasing it, because we have lack of knowledge, because we are in a dark, we've been in a dark place. Well, guess what? The sun is shining. I'm just not talking about the natural sun. I'm talking about the Son, the Lord, our Lordship, our Lord and Savior, the Messiah. He is shining now. His light is burning. And the scripture said that it can never be extinguished. And this is what God has chosen a people that said, yes, if when I need somebody to go, he said, I searched through the mountains, I've searched through the valleys, and I could not find anybody. What God has found through Jesus Christ. As well. Without being apologetic. So as you all know, we are talking about trust this week. And as on yesterday, as we were talking about trust, our very own apostle came in. He shared some powerful words with us. And one thing that stuck in my head, and which is so true, I told y'all I get so excited sometimes. I get excited about this word. He stated that trust is not something that we automatically receive. And in your natural mind, that's true. We have some people that may sit and feel like they're so spiritual, they're so holy, that that's not true, that it's automatically there. That's not true. Look back over your life. Look at your day-to-day situation. How many times did you have to go through some things just in your natural? I'm not even talking about right now on the spiritual realm. For you to be able to trust your neighbor, trust your spouse, just trust the very people that you are around all the time. And that's because we sit and we may know people on a surface level, but you may not know them on an intimate level. And that's the same thing as yesterday, some of the notes that was given. We go through different things, and through our trials, through our errors, through our deceitfulness, through the different things that we go through in life, we learn different things. And in that learning process, we get to a place where in the trial, in the deceit, in whatever you have to go through, a person has to earn what is taking place. So this is where we're at now. And one of the key things that he stated was that we had to earn the trust of God. We had to earn the trust of God. We had, and just as God had to earn our trust. And I'm not going to be before you very long, and I'm going to turn it over to the apostle. But one thing I want to say to you all, one person in the Bible, because I know people like to sit and say, oh, no, that's not true, or you can't do this. I want you to go to Gideon, and that's, you can start with that. That's in Judges, the sixth chapter. Gideon had to go through some things. The Israelites were actually, God says, have no other gods before me. The Israelites were, the Baal was their god. And Gideon was given an assignment from God to tear down that altar and build the Nebo altar. And Gideon did do that, but he asked God for signs. He asked, he needed to know that he could trust God. He needed to know. God may have trusted Gideon, but Gideon didn't know that he could trust God, because the Israelites were turned over to the Midianites for 7 years, and they went through hard times. They were starved. Every time they would try to grow something, their crops was taken. They were just in a bad place because of their acts of disobedience towards God. So Gideon asked him, basically, I'm paraphrasing, how you're asking me to do something, but why would I do it? Because if you were who you say you were, then we wouldn't be going through what we're going through. But I just wanted to throw that out there, because, see, Gideon, as I stated, he had to, and this is just to back up what was stated yesterday, that we have to earn the trust of God as he earns our trust as well, as we learn to trust him as well. And Gideon was a prime example. Some people, from me looking at commentary, so Bible scholars would sit and say that it was an act of cowardness, or it was an act of unbelief. Well, I'm stating in the way I'm reading it, and knowing that we received the nugget that we had to earn the trust of God, as God has to earn our trust, I look at it as, oh, Gideon was asking God to show me, to prove to me that I can trust you. I'm not telling you no, but I need you to prove to me that I can that I can trust you. And as you go down, continue to read into the scriptures, you will actually see the word prove, where Gideon had asked God three different times. So without further ado, I just wanted to, and that's Judges 6. I just wanted to bring that to the forefront, and now I am going to sit back, get my pen, my journal, and start taking notes, because this is where we need to be right now. So the things that you're learning, you just don't hear them. You learn, you receive them, and you start applying them into your life. Good morning, Apostle Temple.
Hey, good morning, Evangelist. God bless everyone this morning. Especially our new followers, we thank God for you all for tuning in, and that is Nigeria, alongside with everybody else, amen. We thank God for you all, Nigeria, for reaching out, amen, and you've been listening and tuning in to the teaching, many of you there. We thank God that we're able to bring some sound doctrine, amen, that doesn't contradict, amen, your relationship and your walk with God. Because saints of God, you got to understand that is what it's all about. It's all about you being to develop. I know that many of people don't took the gospel and made it out of business and begin to not give certain information, because it's just like a business, you know, it's called supply and demand. Amen. And that's the key to a successful business. As long as they have the supplies, and it's a demand for the supply, or if they have to create the demand, amen, for certain supplies, for certain knowledge, amen, now they can begin to put a price tag, or they can begin to put something to where it's a value to that individual on it, amen. But the kingdom of God is not nothing like that. The kingdom of God is freely accessed. The kingdom of God is what God is delivering to his people. He used vessels or individuals that is in office to be the deliverer. All we are, and I tell anybody that the body of Christ, I am a distribution center. That's all we are. ADM, Awaken Deliverance Ministry, is a distribution center. What is a distribution center? That is a place or a location that distribute. They might distribute water, food, you know, you got food banks as a distribution center. You got different type of places that distribute. We are distributing the word of God. We are distributing the things from the kingdom as we operate in the body of Christ of the prophetic and healing and prophecy and all this kind of stuff, you know, and we are that type of individual. So the kingdom of God, it doesn't cost you anything, or the information that God has for you, it doesn't cost you anything other than your time and your discipline to get into a place to get to be able to receive. And I understand this is why I'm able to talk to people on a really a down to earth level, because I understand if you're cautious, I understand that if you're a skeptic, I understand, because you know what, because there's a lot of things that done been out and you don't try and you don't apply it, and it come to find out it is a lie. This is where I tie trust in now. So now you have an issue with trusting, amen, any type of teaching or any type of doctrine that come across the table, amen, because what happened in the past or what things you done discover are things that, you know, have been revealed to you through studying or through, you know, different types of teaching. So now I understand pertaining to trust, and you trust in individuals or, you know, different ones that where you get your information from. I totally understand. I tell anybody, you know, the number one thing that you have to trust is what? The word of God. The number one thing. Now, I do understand also in that area, because you hear that a lot. Many people say trust the word of God, but, you know, it's always a problem. See, it's the problem is, it's not the word of God is the problem. The problem is the interpretation of the word of God. When someone begins to break down or interpret what you just read or the verses or a story, that's interpretation. Now, that's the issue right there. There go the area to where the Bible declares to study to show yourself approved, because you want to get the correct meaning. You want to get the correct understanding, the correct context that comes from the story. Amen? It's very skeptical. You got to be very cautious of people interpretation. And that's what's been going on for years and years and years and years and years. Amen. Because it's been interpretation all the way from the slavery time, you know, from slavery time all the way up to now. It still has been the interpretation of words and the interpretation of the stories, interpretation of the Bible. Amen. And different people begin to use the interpretation, or they begin to grasp their perception or interpretation of the word of God pertaining to their own walk of life. It's pertaining to that. You know, some people begin to use scriptures, you know, pertaining to their perception or their understanding as scriptures of blessings. Some people begin to use scriptures as scriptures of curse and different things. Let me take you real deep, because what I'm trying to do now, I want to unlock some of these areas in your mind. Let me take you into an area now, you know, pertaining to the interpretation. And do you wonder why white supremacists and different racist act and racist group begin to use the Bible and begin to interpret the word of God, or begin to interpret different stories in the Bible as if it's racist, or as if, you know, this is what it says, different what it says? Well, if you go back into the Old Testament and you begin to read, and especially in the book of Abraham's story, or Abraham and different story, the Bible talks about servants. It talks about individuals that are servants or male servants and work male servants and female servants and different things like that. And a lot of people, and it's easy to begin to read these contests and begin to say, oh, they had slaves. Oh, they had people that they took. And that is an interpretation that individuals begin to see, especially dealing with racism and different things, and they go back and use the Bible, and they go back and use different things, you know, pertaining to the Bible, especially let's look at terrorists. The terrorists like to use the tutorial, and the tutorial talks about, eye for eye, two for two. You know, we come back, you do something to me, I do something to you. It's this tit for tat thing that happens, amen? And this is where you've got to be careful with partial of the Bible. This is where I encourage, especially ADM, we have to be, my God, the full context from Genesis through Revelation and grab the whole Bible. And you grab the whole Bible, then you begin to see the denominator that is in the Word of God pertaining to certain areas. Amen? And this is where, you know, the context of trust has got to be articulated, or it could be very difficult or tricky to articulate. Amen? Because so many people thinking that, hey, that we are made in his image. What are some of his attributes in God's image? One of his attributes, we are made, my God, to love. One of the attributes, we are made to, my God, to trust. We are also made to trust. We are made to love. We are made to trust. We are made to care. You know, we are made to, have different types of emotions. Even emotions is happy emotions. Even emotions are sad emotions, all right? We already have these ability that God done gave to us, you know, before we was born. That's the creation of God. He don't put some of his creation inside of us. That's what the scripture declares. We are made in his image, in his likeness. We have a lot of likeness pertaining to the kingdom of God. Amen. So when you come as an adolescent, or you come as a child, you automatically have these things begin to trigger. Trust begin to trigger. Amen. A kid just don't say, well, I don't trust you, mama. I don't trust you, daddy. They don't come out the womb with this kind of stuff. Amen. They already come out the womb. Amen. Dad, mama, no. They said no. They say don't do this. Amen. They understand commands. They've been taught on what command, what this means. They've been taught, watch this, how to trust them. I'm going to say that again. Amen. I hope that didn't win over everybody's head. Amen. They are being taught how to trust who? Them as what? As their parent. So as the parents, mother, father, begin to teach the kid, no, don't you put your finger in that. No, don't go here. No, you need to do this. No, get out of there. No, don't put that in your mouth. No, don't do that. So they are teaching them to trust their instructions. So watch this. So the relationship begin to be developed from where? Birth. Even though the child is not mature enough to understand that it's a parent and a child relationship begin to be developed. So they begin to understand, they begin to realize, you know, without understanding the role of the parent. Yeah, I'm going somewhere this morning. I'm trying to help someone. Amen. They begin to realize but not quite understand the role of the parent. Okay, how is this? How many of you all done got up in age and when you was a child, your parent had to tear you up? They had to whoop you and you like, look at, my goodness, they always use this term. I'm doing this because I love you. Can somebody talk that to me this morning? Amen. I'm doing this because I love you. I'm be doing this because, you know, I care about you. I'm be doing this and stuff like that. And their mentality, they do not understand. But they know your role. Let me pause for a second and talk to somebody this morning. Amen. You might not quite understand what God is doing in your life. You might not quite understand where he's taking you. You might not quite understand where he's carrying you. You might not quite understand what he's bringing you through. But one thing that God wants you to realize, that he playing a role in your life. That's a shout moment right there for somebody, amen, that is coming on this line this morning and did not quite understand, amen, what's going on. Baby, let me tell you something. You might not quite understand what this season is all about and why you are having to play in it and why things coming your way, but let me tell you something. You better realize that long as you walk with King Jesus, amen, that he has a role that he is playing in your life, amen. So the role that God is playing, or the role that your parents is playing, they are your instructors. They are your guiders. They are your developers. They are the ones that are training you, amen. Then once you come into a place, not right away, you come into a place of a little matureness. I know they care about me. Now you realize that they love you. Now once you don't become a hard-headed teenager and you don't did some things they told you not to do and you seen the consequences, now, mama, daddy, I see what you're telling me. I realize what you're telling me. So guess what happened? The trust, what you give them, or the advice that you give them, it's begin to what? Mature. It's begin to grow. It begins to mature. It doesn't start, even though it's already was in them at the beginning, because then they thought you were just being somebody mean. They didn't know what to do. They just thought, my goodness, you just got it. But my friend Pookie Nim over there, they mama Nim let them do this, and JoJo Nim, and they begin to let them do that. How many of you saints of God, my God, you begin to look at everybody else and what's going on with everybody else, and you begin to cry out to God, when is my time? When is my season? I see them over there sprouting. I see them over there going. I be seeing them, but it's all a scene like it's all a summer. Lord, that it seems like you are hard on me. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I'm coming home bringing good grades. I'm doing everything that I like to do. I admire you. I do my chores. I do my prayers. I do my fasting. I do all this stuff. I'm in my word. I'm keeping everything holy. I'm just going on. And God, I just die. But all of a sudden, here come Pookie and them. They got the new car. They got the new house. They look like they got financing. They look like they got going on. But here I am being the holy one. Amen. So now, my God Almighty, you don't understand what God is trying to do with you. And a lot of times, many people, you don't understand, or the trust do not begin to be developed until hardships come and you come out of it. My goodness, I think I don't lost, my God, half our international followers right there. Amen. What do you mean? Baby, let me tell you something. You didn't trust that man until that man stepped up to the plate, my God, and when it was time to pay some bills or help bring you out through some hardship, he made a way, or he provided. Y'all about to hear me. You didn't trust that woman until your backup got up against the wall, or you got sick, or something done happened, and that ride and die chick, my God, she became that ride and die chick, and she began to walk with you. She stayed with you. She helped you, amen. She see you through when your broke self, my God Almighty, couldn't get a job. That woman stayed there by, my God. She stayed there. She didn't, my God, put you down as a man. She didn't put you down as an individual. She stayed there. She brought home the bacon. Not only that, brother, she cooked the bacon as well. You didn't just start trusting that sister. Don't come there with that stuff and say, well, I just know the devil is a liar. When they show themselves that they are worthy through hardship, that's when you say, brother, I know you got my back. I know. Listen, my God, when I met my wife, I'm going to talk about my wife for a second. My wife has some serious, she still do, you know, but it's not as bad. But she has some serious security issues. She didn't trust anybody. When I first met her, that sister, this is the first time I ever experienced that. That sister made me show an ID. and to make proof where I come from, what I say, who I say I am. That sister had a guard up pertaining to trust with this brother right here. This brother had to pull out his driver license to show that sister that's who I am. And not only that, all this stuff that I done said that I could do, all this stuff that I said, what I had, what I have, and what I accomplished, what I did this, that sister ain't believe me until I had to take that sister down to Florida and took her a tour and show her around. Amen. And this is the thing. Guess what I had to do? I had to earn that sister trust. See, many of you so freely giving up what God done blessed you with and giving up so precious, now you're blaming that other individual for backstabbing you, hurting you, kicking you down and stuff like that. Baby, don't be so quick to give up what is precious unto you, because at the end of the day, let me tell y'all something, amen, when you begin to trust my God Almighty where it needs to belong or where it needs to be, amen, God will bring you through. God will take you through. Why it's so hard for so many of you all getting over Bobo 10 or 15 years together, and Bobo going to cheat on somebody else, Bobo going to run somebody else down in the ground. Reason why it's so hard, you put everything into that man and you ain't put nothing into God. Let me talk to y'all brothers for a minute. My God Almighty, reason why you still don't want to trust a sister, you feel as though I got to be a dog now, ain't no good sisters out here. Brother, let me tell you something. The devil is a liar. If you're going to say ain't no good sisters out here, well, you're talking about your mother, you're talking about your grandmother, you're talking about somebody that'll raise you, don't birth you in this world. Let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you something, sister. One bad apple, I understand the quotation, it spoils a bunch, but you best believe what God has for you, it is for you. You just putting your trust in all in the wrong category. So now it's something has to be earned. My God, it has to be earned. It has to be, my God, it has to be, somebody need to earn it from you. It's not something that is freely given. Amen. But now watch this. Once they've been, watch this. Trust doesn't say that they don't have the ability to disappoint you. Uh-oh, is my Nigerian peoples there? Amen? Trust does not say that they do not have the ability to hurt you. Trust doesn't say that they doesn't have the ability to disappoint you. Trust doesn't say that they do not have the ability now to let you down. Trust doesn't say that. Trust is what trust is. I trust you to bring you across that the line is drawn in the sand that I don't allow too many people to come across, but I trust you to come across. Now, once you come across that line, you have the opportunity to stay in my trust, or you have an opportunity to step back out of that line and you no longer in my trust. So what are you saying here? Baby, let me tell you something. When Lucifer crossed that line of trust with the Lord, what the Lord did, the Lord kicked his butt out. And now since the Lord kicked this butt out, it's a line that is drawn that Lucifer will not come back over or come back across that line. God is not going to bring him back up in heaven and have him over the choir again. God is not going to bring him, not only him, but also his third of his goons too. Y'all about to hear me up in here, amen? They are not going to come back up in heaven to have the opportunity to regulate. Y'all about to hear me. Baby, let me help y'all with some wisdom. I understand that when you first meet somebody, you do give them the benefit of the doubt. That's something that pastor does. I give folks the benefit of the doubt. I can care less what somebody's saying in the world. I can care less what naysayers say. You better watch that one. No, baby, I'm going to watch you because you telling me the message. Because if there's anything that you need me to watch, what? You'll be like, Pastor, I'm going to pray. You in prayer, amen, and communicating with God. But I got to watch you because you're the one bringing me the message. So I give folks the benefit of the doubt. But when folks cross that line, now it becomes a decision. Decision with who? Not with them, but with you. This is why love is tied into trust. You got to love yourself so much and love who you are and love what you stand for and say, listen here, I'm not going to give you let me get hood with my vocab, with my grammar. Now another opportunity to come back over and do what you did. Many people say, oh, that's harsh. Well, I got a question for you. Why God designed hell, and if you decide to go there, why he'll let you go? My goodness, I'm going to say that again. Why hell is designed, and if you want to go there to hell, he will let you go. You'll have an opportunity to get your first round ticket and take your trip on to there. He love you. Then he say he love you. Then he say he care for you. Then he say he's there with you. But at the end of the day, if you want to make a decision to go somewhere, he love you enough to respect your decision. Folks, saints of God, you got to love and trust people enough to know that I'm going to respect your decision that you are making. I'm not making the decision, but I'm going to respect your decision, and I'm going to trust what you're saying. See, this is the problem with y'all good at two saints, amen? This is a problem. You always trying to see things in the spiritual eye. And what I mean by the spiritual eye, baby, I just see the good in you. I just see the good. Well, baby, let me tell you something. I understand you seeing the good into people, but also I understand what Bible said, that the Bible told us that we have to either be hot or cold. We cannot be what? Lukewarm. That either you are good on this side of the fence, or you are either bad on that side of the fence. That the Bible, my God Almighty, also tell us, my God, you can either love the one, my God, and hate the other. Y'all about to hear me up in here, amen. So other words, I'm not going to only just see the good in you, but as well, I got to realize and I got to accept what is not good in you as well. Hallelujah. So trust is developed. Trust is developed over time. Trust is something that somebody earns. Trust is something that somebody ain't given. I don't know where these things could God get this stuff from, and I know where to get it from. Well, let me recorrect that. The interpretation is not correct. Oh, God favors me. He do? He favors you cheating on him. He favors you going to do what you want to do. He favors you, my God, because only time you want to go and pray for him or go and talk to him when you're in trouble, when you need something, when you have an issue with something, that's the only time you come and see your boo. But he favors you. Oh, he really do. Amen. So you mean to tell me God just that freely giving everything out? If that's so, why in the world are we here with issues here on earth? Why we still got financial issues for many? Why we still have viruses and germ issues for many? Oh, he favors you, though. Amen? So we got to get out of this state, amen, and really deal with the reality and stop jumping across scriptures and stories in the Bible and just begin to put on stuff that fits us and fits our need and deal with the reality of it. If I never prove myself to God, and I'm constantly proving myself daily, proving yourself to God is a lifestyle. It's just not one, oh, I passed this test with flying colors. Nah, baby. Nah, sister. It's a lifestyle. Because as soon as that comes, you're going to have another issue. As soon as that comes, it's going to be another issue. As soon as you cross over that, you're going to have to cross over something else. It's a lifestyle that you prove yourself daily unto God. I got a question. Who are you proving yourself to? Who are you proving yourself to win your trust, or are you trying to win their trust? Is it yourself? Is it God? Or is it associates that you're trying to fit in that you know they can't stand you? I'm dropping the mic right here. Back to you, Evangelist.
You are absolutely right. You dropped the mic. Not only did you drop the mic, you dropped the Rhema word this morning, Apostle. I'm going to sit and say to you, first and foremost, I thank you. I thank you for this morning, for your obedience. I thank you for this morning, for sharing a mighty word of God that was full of wisdom, and that wisdom comes from experience. And I thank you for just the transparency, because one thing, saints, we have to be in a place where we are able, I say it all the time, you have to be into a place to receive, and receiving, in order for you to receive the truth of the true word of God, you have to ask him to renew your mind daily. You have to ask him to remove the things that's hindering you, the obstacles. It may be something from tradition. It may be something, as apostles say, mama them did taught you, but not because you because one thing about it, everything that was said today, I can relate to it in my life. Trust is something that's earned. As we started this morning, we spoke about Gideon asking God to show him something, show him signs three different times. People say it was an act of weakness, but no, it applies right to the word this morning. Sometimes we have to be in a place where we have to ask God, Father, is this you? Father, can you show me this? Gideon had major assignments that was coming up against him. He was getting ready to fight a battle, and guess what? God decreased the number of men that went into battle with him, and Gideon didn't know that was coming up. Coming up against him. He didn't know that's what God was getting ready to do. But one thing he did know, that he had to know that he can trust God in any assignment that he gives us, that he gave Gideon. And that applies to you and I today. That applies to you and I. When you see people doing different things, just like the word of God came today, you will have many scholars that will sit and probably try to defend or sit and say, well, scripture don't. No, it's knowing. It's reading. It's studying the word yourself and being into a place that you are just so open, so transparent to God, that you're willing to go before him in all humbleness and all humility. And if you got a question, you ask him, because it's not the fact that you're doubting what he says. To me, when I'm asking God something, I want to make sure that my assignment is accurate. I am doing exactly what he says, and I am on the right path. But most of all, knowing that he is there with me. We have trials and tribulations in our lives sometimes that we get to the place that we do doubt. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. And this is what the thing that I love the most out of everything you said this morning, Apostle. When to trust God is not a day to day. When you pick it up today, you pick it up tomorrow. And it is a life. You have to prove yourself. Trust is a proving. You have to prove yourself to God every single day. It's not a temporary thing. It is a lifestyle. It is something that goes with you every single day. So it tells you right then and there when it's a lifestyle. Something in your life has to change. It's a change has to take place in order for you to be where you're at with God, in order for you to trust him, in order for you to walk with him, in order for you to know that God is by your side. Scripture will sit and say it, but as Apostle Temple asked you this morning, who are you trusting? Who are you trusting? I don't need to go any further. The mic was dropped. I just needed to get that out because I want you to know today, and I want you to know today and forevermore that it is a lifestyle. It's not something you get put here today and things did not go your way, so you take it back. It's not a tug of war. Hallelujah. It's not a tug of war. It's a place where you steadfast, you immovable, and you're not going to go any place else but stay exactly where you're supposed to be. So, Apostle Temple, I don't know if you have any closing words, but I want to sit and tell you that I'm just grateful and thankful for the message that you brought through today. I look forward for them books to come. I didn't say book. Them books to come out with these different series, the love, the trust, everything that we have been learning now going into week 3. I am excited. I have a great level of expectation that God is going to continue to bless us throughout the week. Do you have any closing remarks, Apostle?
Yeah, let me close with this. I think our brothers and sisters in Nigeria, they don't win and got more people, and more people don't just got onto the line. And, please, y'all tune in at 7. Please tune in at 7, amen. And I want to try to feed you all just a little bit more, amen, because honestly, all I'm doing from yesterday, even today, this is just the introduction. We have not even gone into the meat of trust, amen. This is the introduction to get you to begin to see reality, the reality of what Scripture begin to lay out trust is, amen, and that's the reality of it. So, you know, we got to understand that trust is just not something that is given, and we got to understand that, amen, and like I shared with you all yesterday how the trust was broken, how trust was broken between man and God, that commitment that God had with man, it was broken, and who had to come and sacrifice? The sacrifice had to come from who? Our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. This is where a true, a living vessel had to come in. Now, I want y'all to understand this. Now, this is the deep part about it. This is the deep part about it. Amen? Even though his Son come and die for us, even though his Son come and die for us, that doesn't mean that God had trust that his Son going to complete the task. How is that, Pastor? Because he came into a world that was born. This is where choice has to happen. This is the place of choice. The sacrifice would never been effective if Jesus never had a choice. Never had a choice with what, Pastor? To continue with the assignment that it was given to him by the kingdom. He had a choice to end it. He had a choice to quit. He had a choice to not go forward with it. How is these choices possible, Pastor? Well, number one, you know, we talked about in the wilderness where he fasted for 40 days. He had a choice to kneel down and walk with the enemy, but he chose not to. He had a choice when he asked the Father, he said, Father, please take this cup from me. He had a choice right then and there to quit. He had a choice not to continue. He had a choice to end that journey. But he chooses to what? To continue to move forward. He chose to move forward. He had a choice not to begin that ministry. How is that? Well, if he didn't have a choice, why wouldn't the Bible declares that when Jesus met John the Baptist at the River of Jordan and he baptized him, and the Bible says, and the Lord came, or the Spirit of the Lord came down as a dove, and he said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Why God come on the scene to say how pleased that he is with his Son, why he didn't come on the scene when his Son was 10 years old? Why he didn't say that through the Bible when he was 5 years old? Why he didn't say that when he came back to the temple with all the elders at the age of 12 and say, well, that's my Son. I'm proud of that boy. But when he made up in his mind, and he really, other than from a talking standpoint, and this is where people got to separate trust, and this is where we got to separate, amen, from a talking standpoint where he was saying at that time, at an adolescent, that I'm about my Father's will, to a action standpoint where the Father actually looked upon him when he began to walk in that assignment. After he done fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he walked into that assignment, amen, and God said, this is my beloved son. Now I could trust you. You're just not about talk. Son, you're about putting in that work. Now we could go and put in that work. See, this is the thing. It has to be earned. Many people are trying to give things. God never put the son here on earth to be controlled by him. God put the son here on earth to also to live like human mankind. That's the only way the sacrifice would have been earned. He had a choice. And in the midst of his choosing, the father gave him every tools that he needed. And he built the trust that he's going to go the certain way. Saints of God, we have to understand that throughout the Bible and throughout that we can unveil that many people thinking that, hey, you need to get this. No. You got to be careful who you put your trust in. Pastors, you getting hurt because you are trying to you're trying to grab these people, then you trust these people and all this kind of stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if they ain't proved that self-trustworthy, see, many people that I have to take up under me and I have to bring up under me to also to groom, that doesn't mean that from a spiritual sense I trust you. Because I have to do a job according to what God declares and what God said. So we got to understand how to separate the two. Amen. Who to bring into my core that I trust, or who I trust from a distance, or I trust with a certain amount. You could choose the amount, or you could choose the level that you allow or you give people that trust. I could trust you over here, but I can't trust you to do this. I can't trust you to watch over this, but I know I could trust you to do that. How you could trust them? Because what? They prove their self that they were trustworthy in where? In that area. Come on, somebody. They prove they self. Now, I tell you what. Y'all go ahead and DM me that you could say everybody that is in your life, you trust them. Everybody that came into your life, you trust them. You trust everybody around you now. Amen. And I bet you, my God, we probably won't have no one say, I trust everybody. But you'll have some follower will say, you know what, Pastor? I trust everyone to a certain extent. I trust you to a certain extent. A woman be crazy to trust another woman with her husband. A man be crazy to trust another man with her wife. How is that, Pastor? Well, number one, I don't know your intent. You don't know that woman intent. I don't know. And I know what you could do. And at the end of the day, let's not get into this thing what some of us do. Hold on for a second, y'all. Let's not get into this thing what some of us will do and what some of us will go and try to say. And y'all know what that is. Well, I trust you, but I don't trust them. No. Let's not play that game. No, you might trust him, but you don't trust him to a certain extent. You might trust her, but I don't know. I don't know because, you know, that brother got more abs than I got. That sister's shape is more shaper than me. So I don't know. And I know your sexual needs and how high it is. So by you having a knowledge of something about your spouse, you know that I don't know about that one. I don't know if we're going to go too far with that one. I can't go too far with that one. Can we be honest here? Can we be honest? Why? Because at the end of the day, you know the extent that where some people will go and put betrayal. You understand that. You know that. Amen? And also, you know at the same time that it's free will because you don't know he or she will make a choice to do whatever. So at the end of the day, we all trust to a certain extent. Is that something wrong? A lot of people say, well, you got to, that's something wrong. You got to be wrong about that. You got to be wrong. Baby, I tell you what, you give what is precious that God gave you, and you just go ahead and just lay it out anywhere, lay it out whatever. Amen? We have to understand and don't be naive to the fact of the world that we are living in. If we are living in this perfect society, if we are living in this perfect society, why in the world the Bible tells you to repent? The Bible need to take repentance out of the Bible. Why God telling us to repent if we're in this perfect society that we could trust everybody? I think I put y'all Bible scholars to a brick wall right now. Amen. I don't think you got nowhere to go now. Why? Repentance is in the Bible. If that's the case, we'll trust everybody. I trust you, whatever you say to me, it ain't a lie. I trust you, you ain't gonna backstab me. I trust you, you ain't a cheater. I just trust you. You ain't, it's none of them things doesn't exist. So we all trust to a certain what? Extent. I'm gonna leave it as that. Hey, you all gotta keep coming on throughout the week. Back to you, Evangelist. I'm out.
Again, we leave you all with peace, love, and happiness. I sit and say to you, have someone else come on tomorrow morning. We are here bright and early at 7 a.m. We thank you for joining us at our executive meeting as we receive the daily manna that God has for us. You all just have a blessed day. Just take the word of God. Let it resonate through your mind, your heart. Let it penetrate that heart. That heart just goes so, it goes to the east, it goes to the west, the north and the south, and it just moves all up to the brain. It just helps you learn and apply the things that you learn. You're able to apply them in your life. Do not sleep and do not slumber on the words that God is saying to you right here and now. I just thank you all again. May peace be with you. Have a beautiful, beautiful day in the Lord. We love you.
Y'all listen at this. See, I haven't been perfect, but I sure been faithful. See, God's got a purpose, yes, and I know He's able. I've got to see in the ground that He's blessing, no more stressing.